Luke chapter 3. We're going to just talk about a couple of things on the genealogy, starting in verse 23 through 38. As we talked about the importance of the genealogical records, and that the Jews kept greater genealogical records than anybody in history, at least up to this time. But in the first one, it says Jesus being, in verse 23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. And then the son of Heli. Heli was the grandparent of both, I think, both Joseph and Mary, but that's another story. And then we go all the way down to verse 38. In Matthew, it stops at Abraham. In Luke, it goes all the way back to Adam. But look at 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was, the son isn't in there, it just was of God. In other words, God created him. He wasn't born of him. And so I can't emphasize enough the importance of the genealogical tables and the records that they had kept. When Bloom and I were in Istanbul, we went to the Blue Mosque, which was originally the Church of St. Sophia, I think. And it's a humongous thing. It's just mind-blending. And they have these huge, I don't know, it must be 4 or 5 stories or more high at least. And they have these kind of, we're all decayed and everything, but they had inside there these wall after wall after wall of scrolls. And it is said in the Talmud that they were taken, the scrolls of the genealogical tables were taken from the temple. In one of the places I read, it says they ended up at that Blue Mosque now in Istanbul, but they're all decayed and everything. So the other record of them was, they had the complete record of them in the Great Library at Alexandria. So there were at least 2 places. They were at the Great Library in Alexandria, and they were in the temple. Both places got burned. Unfortunately, the Great Library in Alexandria, which had collected all the great books of the world, was burned by Christians because it had books in it about stuff they didn't think was too good. So anyhow. So now we're going to Luke 4. Anybody have any thoughts about any of that?
Tell me again why that's so important.
Messiah had to meet 165 different prophecies in the Old Testament in order for him to be Messiah.
Said who?
Said the scriptures. The Messiah was predicted by God. Really, at Genesis 3, when he said that the son, the seed of woman, would overcome the head of the serpent. And so that they carefully kept the genealogical records all the way up through the destruction of the temple in AD 70. But they could prove that he was Messiah by those genealogical records. No.
That he could have been
the Messiah.
Could have been, yeah. Not was, could have been.
Well, I believe that the high priest knew he was, and it said it's better for one to die than the whole nation to perish, remember? But if he comes back today, as much of the teaching of evangelical Christians say, there's no way to prove scripturally that he's the Messiah. The importance of that is that all he could do would be to do tricks. to prove he had some, and that isn't enough for certification. Am I communicating the importance of this, sir?
I've always wondered why the, if they did all this meticulous recording and watching and all that, when he came, he fulfilled everything, and yet they rejected him, which I know is a picture of us, but it's amazing.
Well, remember what it said when the high priest said, it's better for one to die than for the whole nation to perish?
Yeah.
He said it being full of the Holy Ghost. They knew. The high priest and the inner sanctum of the Sanhedrin knew he was Messiah. But they were so afraid of the Roman Empire being that they would destroy him if that they said it's better for one to die than the whole nation be destroyed.
They knew that because he fit all of the criteria, all of the prophecies.
Well, that's my belief.
Yeah. And there's no other way for them to know.
Other than doing tricks.
Talking about empirically.
Yeah. But my point, I just want to show you the paucity of the idea that he's coming back and going to reign in the temple over there for 3.5 years. That's impossible, according to the Jewish law. And that's it's another fiction of modern Christianity.
Nothing scriptural that motivates them, is there?
Of who?
That motivates the Christians who want to do this.
Sure. The scriptures, the motivation is that he's going to come back to earth and set up his kingdom on earth and reign for 1,000 years.
And by that they assume then if he's going to reign, he has to have a place. And their calling is to provide the place.
Yeah, but the place is what we've talked about so many times. Let's go there again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now remember, both in here and in the theology that was first promulgated at Dallas Theological Seminary, as far as I know, that it all is based on Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks to fulfill all righteousness, to bring an end of sin, etc., etc. But they say that there was a floating week up there somewhere in space, and then it's waiting for Israel to be restored, so that and the temple to be rebuilt, so the floating week can come back down to earth.
That's what they say.
Yes. Okay. 2 Thessalonians, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now they say in order for that to happen, excuse me, the temple has to be rebuilt. Could you get me a glass of water, somebody? Jeff's getting it.
I'm just looking at number 2, verse 2, where it says that day of Christ is at hand.
Yeah, don't say it until the man of sin be revealed. So that's why, this is another reason they believe in dispensationalism. For that, the end can't come until the temple's rebuilt. So if you watch John Hagee or any of these guys, they've got these humongous charts about this is what's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And I'm telling you, that day has been that day is come because the man of sin has been revealed.
This would mean that day won't come till you see it. Is that the interpretation here?
Well, that it's just
it won't come for you.
No, the idea is it's not going to come until there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed. Doesn't say who he has to be revealed to or how many.
I mean, this is for the individual to see this, and then
it's not just for the individual. That judgment must first begin at the house of God, and it doesn't take the whole house of God or the whole people of God to see it. It only takes a part. That's why each part of the mystery of God or of the body or each Seder has to be faithful to what they see.
That's pretty much what we preach around here.
Right, that's why. This is why we preach it. Okay, is that clear right now? It may not seem important because you're not involved in all that other crap that's going on.
Well, then also that word for temple that we've talked about many times.
Right, that's just the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place.
They're confusing the word for temple, wouldn't they?
But they're saying that the whole Levitical system has to be reestablished. That this word for temple here is the whole temple, including the brazen altar and the whole thing that's necessary for the sacrifices. And so that's why they're spending all the money trying to recreate the perfect red heifer. And they're going through all these things. There's humongous training classes of trying to train the people that will be the priests in the temple. They can't even prove they're priests. They can't even prove that they're of the tribe of Levi. But there's all these people. Well, of course. Billions of dollars have been raised to do this. And there's an alliance between the ultra-right, the ultra-conservative of the Jewish nation, and these are the people that believe that before Messiah can come, they have to have control. Israel has to go from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates. Now, that was already fulfilled in David. But they think it has to be fulfilled again. That's why all that crap went on. That's why we invaded. At the core, that's why we invaded Iraq.
Whoa. What? How do we get there?
Because the Bush administration, the advisors to the Bush administration, many of them are the ultra-conservative Christians and the ultra-conservative Jews. And there, they said, and it's written down, you can find it, that's, and again, Madoff, that's what all the money that Madoff, $50 billion, it went to that ultra-conservative group of the Jews who are trying to set this up, to take over everything from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. That includes Jordan and Syria and Lebanon.
And they're doing this with money? They're raising money to do this?
Huge amounts of money.
So someplace there's a huge amount of money that these people are...
Look under the Jerusalem Foundation. Look under all of just put rebuilding the temple in the...
And they're going to buy the land and build the temple?
They're already doing it.
They're already doing it?
They're already buying the land. They're already... All these things are in training. And there is a collusion between this ultra-right-wing group of the Jewish faith and the evangelical Christians, the Dominionists.
So the Jews would be doing it so that Messiah can come, and the Christians are doing it so
for the same reason.
Back.
Well, yeah, that's why all these arguments. There's this great. They had a big ecumenical deal in New York in the early 90s, and you know, it was evangelical Christians and Jews, and so they were having these great arguments about Messiah. And this one Jewish rabbi stood up and said, well, we shouldn't argue about that. When he comes, we'll ask him if he's been here before. I mean, serious, that actually happened. Now, what we're saying is so far radical. Most Christians, this isn't even an issue. They don't, you know, it's just because Christianity is just cultural. It's a moral behavior kind of thing.
If that's true, if that's fact, we're not at the edge, we're over it.
Oh, of course. We've been over it. We've really been over the edge since 1948. We've been going down the wrong path in massive amounts of...
Since the Zionist state in Israel?
And it's joining with evangelical, the right wing of evangelical Christianity.
Oh, where's this go? Where's this lead?
Well, it's going to lead to...
World War, probably.
Well, it's leading to futility and emptiness, but... what it's going to do to us is, who knows, anybody's guess. That's why when I was, we're in a rant here, but I'll go ahead and do it anyway. When Bloom and I were in, we went from Istanbul to Lebanon because we thought we'd be safe in Beirut in the middle of a civil war. The guy, the Barry, I can't even remember Barry's last name.
Wilson.
Barry Wilson, this guy that held me hostage. But he had two Arab accomplices. One was, his name was Ibrahim Akari, and the other was, I can't remember his name. It was a word that meant the snake in Arabic. We talked, this Ibrahim Akari is from a very prominent family of Lebanon, and he was working as a bodyguard, to Barry Wilson. We talked for hours and hours and hours about this mystery of God. Then Barry held me hostage. And these two guys were part of the hostage taking. I didn't press charges, even though that was a capital offense in Lebanon. Well, you know about Barry coming back here, but Ibrahim, 2 years later, Israel invaded Lebanon, and Ibrahim was radicalized, and at least from a telephone call I got, when I got this call, he had risen to number two in Hezbollah, and he said he had a blood debt, he owed me a blood debt, and he was going to do some wild things because he owed me that blood debt if I would go over there. And I couldn't get permission to go. The State Department wouldn't give me a visa. I talked to the FBI, I talked to Perot, I talked to all kinds of people. And they wouldn't give me a visa. So anyway, this is real stuff. I mean, it's affecting American foreign policy since 1948.
When I hear stuff like this, it's like, you know, everything is of God, so even this has to be, and you know, like John asked, where is it all going? I guess your answer is right. At some point, there has to be a seeing of the futility of man's efforts to generate God.
Yeah, but it's part of this apostasy. There must be a falling away first. The Jews believe that they have to establish Israel before Messiah can come, and that has to, the ultra-right believe that Israel is not just a little state, it's all the way, as I said, from the Euphrates to the river of Egypt.
So the Jews believe this, and they've convinced...
Now listen,
Christians
believe it because they like the idea of power and dominion. On the other side of the coin, The Muslims believe that a sect of the Muslims, just as wild as the sect of the Israelis and the sect of Christianity, they believe that their 13th Imam, or the Mahdi, cannot return to make their lives wonderful until Israel is destroyed completely off the face of the map. So, I mean, we've got these ultra-right groups in both camps, really establishing the agendas and Ahmadinejad is a member of that sect that believes that they have to destroy Israel for the Mahdi to return. And the Mahdi is essentially the Arab Messiah.
Is that the Shia?
No, it's much more radical than that. So all I'm trying to say to you is the mistakes that have been made in foreign policy by the world governments are powered by stupid theology. And that's why, bottom line, that's why the genealogical tables are important. Everybody understand a little better?
Well, the genealogical tables aren't important anymore.
They're important because it shows the emptiness of the theology. If Messiah came and set himself up in the temple, no one would believe he was Messiah because he couldn't prove he was Messiah.
Okay. So
they're important from a negative standpoint now, but just as important as a positive standpoint.
Yeah, I see what
you mean. Well, if someone came in the door and started doing tricks, wouldn't that kind of get your attention a little bit somehow? I mean,
would it get my attention?
Uh-huh.
No.
No?
No.
Well, wouldn't it depend on what kind of tricks?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He can raise the dead. He can call fire down from heaven. He can do anything he wants.
And it's still going to not give you pause?
Wouldn't give me the slightest pause to think he was Messiah.
Why? Yeah, where did this come from? This is not...
Because the scriptures declare it. This is what I spent 12 years trying to prove was wrong.
I'm not saying that wouldn't... Raising people from the dead wouldn't get your attention?
No. It's already been done.
I beg your pardon?
It's already been done.
Again?
The kingdom is not of this world.
Okay.
He would have followers, jillions of them. But it isn't. He couldn't possibly be the second coming of Christ.
It couldn't possibly be?
No.
He possibly could be. Maybe he's not, but he possibly could be.
No, I don't believe he possibly could be.
Possibly Pete could be. Possibly Joy Santa could be. Possibly.
That's the difference between you and I.
Well, wait a minute.
The scriptures are clear. To me, is a bell. Not just clear, I've tried to prove him wrong in every possible way.
Well, then Christ can't come back for you.
He is coming back in the clouds, and we'll all rise up to meet him together in the air, as everything behind us is...
How do you know that's not a trick?
Well, because we'll see the world dissolved. Let's go to 2 Peter.
Trick.
Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 3.
2 Peter?
2 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new land wherein dwelleth righteousness.
So that's the second coming right there?
Well, we'll rise up. It says clearly, we shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. We shall rise up to meet him in the air. This is the end of time and space. Anybody believe me?
Yeah.
something about what happened on Pentecost, about Christ being in us, that seems like it's a witness to what you're saying, because of Christ coming back to be hang around for a while doesn't seem to wash.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't wash at all.
Well, what is that stuff? He's come back, he's reigned for 1,000 years. I mean, there's other scriptures. I don't know where they fit in, because I don't study this personally. Here it's all over.
The last Jew that could prove he was a Jew was about 1,000 years after Christ. He reigned for 1,000 years. He's reigning now. But the 1,000 years have been extended because of the and 1,000 years isn't a specific number in the Greek language. It's just a whole bunch of years. Yeah, it doesn't mean that it's going to. That's what the Third Reich was about. That's what Hitler's Third Reich was about. That's what much of the Dominionist theology is about. Christ is going to come back to earth and set up his kingdom on earth instead of in earth. That's the whole mystery. That's why the difference between our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. But in most Bibles it says on earth. This is why those little words are so incredibly important. Because all heresy comes from on earth instead of in earth. If you really think about it. Well, this is, you know, we see all these things going on in the world, but they all have a theological basis. Now, Iraq wasn't invaded only because of that. It was invaded, but that certainly was one of the reasons that they agreed to invade Iraq. It's the main, the practicality was the reason Bush's father didn't invade. But the idea of those countries, there shouldn't be one country called Iraq. That was just goofy. It was three different tribes that they tried to join together who had never been together in history. That same is true all over the Middle East. They don't pay any attention to nationhood. We think about nationhood here, but they don't pay any attention to nations. Their loyalty is to the tribe. The same as ours. Our loyalty is to a new creation, which is a tribe. It has nothing to do with nations or kingdoms or anything. But this is why we study this kind of intently, so that you can go down to the deepest parts, so that you won't be deceived.
Funny, what we study seems completely different than what we're talking about here.
This is what we talk about, what we study all the time is a basis for what we talk about right now.
Yeah, we don't talk about this much, so it's hard to make all these connections. I mean, you're saying a lot of...
Yeah, but we have many times over the years.
You mentioned it. And
it hasn't maybe been comprehensive.
No, it hasn't been, yeah.
It certainly wasn't bananas. But if you stop and look at the basis of different theologies, it's just goofy. Remember, there's only three monotheistic religions in the world. And all based on the promises of God to Abraham. Jews believe he went to Isaac. Muslims believe it went to Ishmael. Jews believe it went to anybody who accepts Jesus as their personal Savior.
Christians, I mean.
But that's all of them said. Paul said, the scriptures are clear. It says all of them are wrong. The promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. All old things have passed away. There's no more reference to anything of the past or political or societal or heritage or anything else. Now I think if all of you were faced with, because I don't think any of you would be deceived by somebody doing tricks. You might, but I hope not. Even Mr. Bojo. Yeah, it was a really big trick. What, Mr. John? Well, it's, you're doing something.
You're stirred up. Oh, come on. You're stirred up.
Gary wants to get a rise out of somebody.
As somebody once said, this has massive implications.
It sort of rings of conspiracy theory kind of things, and that always puts me on edge. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not saying that that's the case here, but that's what...
What part of that rings within you?
Bush's invasion of Iraq.
Okay, let's...
I don't know. I'm with John. That is conspiracy theory.
All right, let me say it again. It wasn't the reason he invaded Iraq. But in the background, it certainly was one of the reasons that it justified, in his mind, the invasion of Iraq.
I'm sorry, that's too... No.
All right, well, then don't believe it. I don't care.
I don't know. Give me a source where you're finding this information.
There are hundreds of sources.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on.
Bush was calling up T.D. Jakes, Hagee, all these people were Christian right. People were flying up to Washington.
There's some pretty scary stuff.
I've got
some pretty scary stuff. There's no
proof that they were. He was using those people as advisors. George Bush was, and that's what they believe.
But what I don't want to do is prove myself. I don't want to convince myself by proving someone else wrong.
Well, of course not. Nor do I. That's why we don't talk about it all the time. But I'm just saying to you, stop and think. Let's just go to the one test scripture. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that he is come in the flesh is not of God, but is of that Antichrist, which is already here in the world. Now, once I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is in me, then I know that he is come in the flesh. I know then that I can repent totally, that I have no need to even pay attention to the slightest imagery of my mind or my emotions or feelings, because I know that I know that I know that he is here. Now, but then all these other theologies that say he's coming back, well, wait a minute. He's already here. What is he coming back for?
What this makes me think of is like there's a spiritual Illuminati and you're connected with them and we're just now finding out.
Good God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does sound like there's a whole lot of really tuned in, connected guys. And they're doing all this really wild stuff that nobody ever hears about and we don't hear about. But you know about all this stuff.
Conspiracies.
And
That's called conspiracy theory.
Well, I mean, it may be true. It sounds pretty fundamental. And you don't hear it on the news. So. I don't know. That's the way it comes down.
You know how we... just real quickly, I know we're getting late here. You know how you always talk to us about, and I'm totally in agreement with you, you know, if we had been at the scene of the crucifixion, we would have either turned our backs or hollered crucify him. We wouldn't have stood up. Okay. Was it incumbent upon the people of the day to investigate the 165 prophecies that would have led them to believe that this man was Messiah?
It was incumbent on the Sanhedrin, or at least the committee of the Sanhedrin.
Well, but still, that's not the population. That's
no.
That's not everybody.
No.
So.
That's what Jews for Jesus do now.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. It's not the only thing that's necessary, in my opinion, is for us, for his people, is to call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. The stuff that all of the mystery of the cross that we're about isn't necessary for the entire body of Christ. But it's necessary for us because we see it. We have to be faithful to it. Now that has implications on a national, worldwide, international basis. And that's all I was trying to point out this morning. I don't give any breath to it. I don't care what they're doing. It's not my business. But it's periodically I find it interesting to look at. And I know that I know that I know, and I can prove it to you, that the advisors to George Bush, the ones that Pete enumerated, and many more.
I don't argue with that for a second.
Would have said to him, Mr. President, here's what's necessary. And the same, the Jewish advisors would have said the same thing. That
inner office memos have biblical scripture written on the heading, you know. I mean, it's scary stuff.
Right.
It really, you know. Wolfowitz and those people were off the wall.
And many others that we haven't heard of.
Absolutely.
Gary North.
I'm sure.
But it's not unknown in the political circles that happened. It's not a conspiracy theory. I don't care whether it's true or not. It's immaterial to me, but I think it's true based on everything I know about politics and everything I know about the advisors to Bush.
I can't get past the fact that you are unwilling to just defiantly say that tricks won't do it for you. And I'm not talking about tricks like pulling cards out of my sleeve. I'm talking about someone who walked in the door and brought people back to life, or I mean, think of something that's the most dramatic thing you can think of, or saw somebody put his hand on your shoulder and your spasm went away, or some such thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not saying that you jump into on that bandwagon. I mean, you got to pay some attention to this guy. There's something going on here. This defies.
Yeah, but I believe I've been tempted in a whole lot of ways to do that. That's another story, but I don't think I would.
I
don't think.
If I saw it happen, I've never seen it happen, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, it's all conjecture.
Yeah, but it's not conjecture for me when the experiences
that
I've gone through.
That's the thing I'm honing in on is your absolute booms. You know, there's no possibility. And you say there's no possibility of anyone under any circumstances doing anything that would make you think that that person
was Messiah.
Was Messiah or could be Messiah. Possibly be Messiah, to quote you.
Well, I still maintain that.
You still maintain that. That's admirable. I guess that's faith. That's something. I don't know, but it's easy for me to say that I would do that, but
I don't think you would.
Don't you?
Just from what you know, when you were faced with it, I don't think you would. You wouldn't, because you won't hear another's voice.
Just like the Antichrist.
You have more faith in me than I do.
I know I do. That's my job. I don't think any of you would, because his sheep know his voice.
Well, what if it was him?
But it wouldn't be according to the scriptures.
Oh.
That's the basis of my certainty.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
Well, that's what the basis of all my certainty is.
Changes everything.
Good.
I gotta go.
Take a big guy.